Hey everybody, Dave Hodges here, host of the Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. Make sure you sign up for our newsletter. It's free, it's convenient. We have over 50,000 subscribers. It comes to your email box once a day. It's a compilation of everything we do in the previous 24 hours. Go to thecommonsenseshow.com, and all you got to do is click on the link and then put your email in. We don't sell your data. I'm not Mark Zuckerberg, and you'll get that once a day. It's very convenient. People love it. Also, we're brought to you by Noble Gold. Leave your retirement in the bank. They're going to take it. They're setting up to take down the economy as best they can, and they want to attack you to do it. Dodd-Frank 2010 law says they can take your money, they can take your retirement. Noble Gold can extract your retirement, put it under your name, back it with gold, an appreciating asset. What could be better? Federal government wants me to say there should be a warning here. Okay, I've been a customer for 7.5 years, and I'm going back and doing another deal next week with Silver. So, ladies and gentlemen, they're the best company I've ever dealt with. Go to DaveHodgesGold.com, DaveHodgesGold.com. I'll send you out a free information packet. Our guest is the leader of the New California Movement. I've seen this start from scratch, folks. I've known Paul for a long time, and he has taken this, overcome obstacles, challenges, violent events, threats. I've seen it all, and I've seen how he's built this. This is going to be a reality. We are going to have a 51st state. Now, if I have my way, you're looking at the governor right here, but he doesn't say such a thing. Paul, that's just me saying that, not you. But he's done a marvelous job putting this together. It's been my honor and privilege to be able to cover this. And he's in a unique position because the Trump people love him. They love the idea of New California. Two extra MAGA senators, extra representatives, splitting the corrupt state of California that murders its own citizens with wildfires. He's breaking that up into half. This is awesome. But we're here to talk to you about a couple of things here. Paul obviously is in California, and there's been really nefarious events going on in California we're going to talk to. But we have a breaking story, and I'm going to just throw it out to Paul for his comment. Paul, as you know, we were talking pre-air. I've got two excellent sources. James O'Keefe is coming out with this, but I've got another source I can't mention for political reasons, but he is just as informed, very well connected, and they're both saying the same thing. Continuity of government may be enacted by HHS come the inauguration. You want to pick that up and run with it as best you understand?
Well, this is something that we were kind of hoping that would happen with the Trump administration. And as far as I'm concerned, it did happen, but there was no results. And the reason why is because everybody was so compromised. And I don't think Donald Trump knew or understood how compromised. Maybe I'm wrong, but there was great controversy about whether or not to at some point to really employ the Insurrection Act. And this is something that is also part of the continuity of government problem, which is the Economic Emergency Powers Act that really kind of levels the whole playing field. So, in other words, basically, the president would continue on with the regime, so to speak, through the inauguration, and maybe even beyond that. That's a capability that they could probably employ or try to. These people are desperate. They're going to do whatever they can to hold on to power. You can see that being exercised in Los Angeles right now, and also now I'm hearing New York is starting to break out in similar types of electronic fires. So these are some very, very trying days ahead of us. I know that Donald Trump has a planned July ni or January 19th rally at the Capitol in Washington, D.C. And of course that'll probably draw quite a few people, a couple million people at least. So I would hope that this is not going to happen, but it seems like they're going to do something because remember, it was them. They were the ones who actually hired and employed the Ukrainian army to come in and upset everything on January 6, 2020. So they're not beyond anything. They attempted to recreate the Reichstag incident of 1933, which brought Adolf Hitler to power, solidified his power anyway. And that this is these are the people that are following the Hitlerian model anyway. So they have nothing to lose at this point. That's why they're going all out. That's why we're seeing the things that are happening right now by way of China proxies in Southern California and throughout California. We've had this before. It's kind of interesting. You're watching this thing play out with Gavin Newsom. And everything that's, as far as I can see, that's going on is just right out of the playbook of any communist, any strong communist such as Mao or Lenin or Stalin. Any of these people are, really the role models that these people are projecting onto us right now. So their conflation, their talking in word salads, I might add. It's just very, very, it's very similar to some of the conversation you hear with Kamala Harris. So they're definitely trying to keep things confused and stirred up. But it's really a sad day to see so much of our great state in California, Southern California, being destroyed. And it's not over. No, it's not over. This is going to go on for days, and we're going to lose many more homes, and we don't know how many thousands of people are going to die.
Yeah, and you know they'll underreport the death count just like they did in Paradise and
Absolutely.
Sonoma and everywhere else they've done this. You know, Paul, I want to digress back to what you just talked about with the 19th and the Trump rally. Do you think this is a beta test for security? Is that why Trump is doing this?
I think so. Absolutely. I think he's doing that. And I think he wants to surround himself with his people, our people. And he wants to see who's going to be out there, if they're going to put any more FBI agent provocateurs out there to mess with everybody. And they probably will. I think it's kind of caught them off guard a little bit, because it still takes time. You know, you're talking about marshaling in a whole bunch of Ukrainian troops. And by the way, most people don't understand that we understand the fifth column work that has been done here by way of, bringing everybody across the border. Over, as reported by many people, 100 million people have come across the border in the last 4 years. A lot of them are Ukrainians. Not here in California, we have a lot of Ukrainians that are military-age men. They do a great deal of occupying the Department of Motor Vehicles offices on a daily basis, which is kind of interesting. But
What's the purpose of that?
the purpose is to get licensed, to get yourself a driver's license, to be able to vote. Be able to get benefits, the EDD benefits, and so on, all the stuff that the state is giving away to them.
It's simply amazing and treasonous at the same time.
Absolutely.
I worry about a dirty bomb, and I haven't been told this, but that's my worry about the inauguration.
Yeah, I no, I say I share the same concern. It would be a perfect situation for that. And I don't know if you're gonna it, what's gonna happen at that rally. I was invited for the 19th and 20th. I'm not saying what my status is gonna be, but I do know that there's a big concern of a dirty bomb. And we have heard that we've actually heard warnings from my people about a major blast in Washington, D.C. That was gonna actually happen on the 6th. But that was when the alert came out to me anyway. It was on the 6th. That did not happen. What did happen was that there was a major snowstorm, which kind of kept everybody at bay. But you never know what's going to happen now at this point, because he's now gotten so close to saying his oath of office, which, by the way, I understand that all the paperwork for the presidency, including an oath of office, has already been affected upon the president of the United States, Donald J. Trump.
You mean
So this is going,
he's already taken the oath? That's
he's
what.
already taken the oath, from what I understand.
I'm surprised the Biden administration wouldn't put up a public fight over that.
Well, from what I understand, it's kind of like that's what happens.
Okay.
It's always basically been a protocol like that, that that's what happens.
All right.
And so in case there is some sort of problem before, the 20th, inauguration, once it's certified by the Electoral College that they're good to go.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I'm looking for the notification I received because I think a couple of verbatim statements would be in order. And my goodness gracious, that email just disappeared. And Paul, I read it to you pre-air.
Yeah, you did. Yeah.
These guys just will not leave me alone. They've interfered in some of my Rumble videos now, and I'm glad, guys, you think I'm worthy enough to interfere with. That really kind of it lifts my spirit a little bit of my level of self-importance here. So that's funny. It's gone, Paul. It's gone. But anyway, I'll sum up what I read. I wanted to read the verbatim quotes because what I was told by my private intelligence source, who's very, very good, and he's been giving me stuff for 4 to 5 years, goes right down the line with what James O'Keefe is saying. And you and I both agree James O'Keefe is solid as a rock. And they're talking about continuity of government. But here's what's weird, Paul, and this is what really bothers me, and this speaks to mass casualty. It's HHS is the initiating agency, Human Health Services. You think it would be FEMA, the FBI, the Secret Service, DHS, but HHS, does that strike you as odd too?
It's very odd. And it's who do they have militarized, and who do they can count in terms of loyalty. I think that's really what you're looking at. I don't think he's got a bunch of loyal branches like he used to in the bureaucracy of the United States. I think everybody's so overwhelmingly happy that Donald Trump won, that they're having a very hard time keeping their act together, in terms of this takeover that they've been trying to do for the last 20 years, and we've been stopping them. And so they're kind of befuddled. I really think this is the time in which the rat stands up and tries to protect itself in the throes of being killed. I think that it's going to fight like crazy, and we might see it go down until he says his final oath of office, ceremoniously. But I definitely think it's going to go down. I think they're going to try to do something that we don't know yet. What's happening out here in Los Angeles is certainly enough, but they got more. They got more, and this is what we have in store for ourselves. I understand New York now has some issues very similar to what happened in Los Angeles. Don't be surprised if you see more of this around the nation in the days ahead.
I'm preparing social media analysis of something, and what popped into my head early this morning is I think we're looking at the deep state and the New World Order's version of a bonsai attack. When they know they're defeated, if it's kind of like the forlorn lover, if I can't have her, nobody can, and their entire objective is to destroy.
That's right. We're hearing stories about the fires being managed and manipulated by illegal foreign nationals that are coming across the border. And a lot of them have been kept in places. One person told me out of Santa Barbara County, because everybody's got fire problems now. Santa Barbara County, Ventura County, Los Angeles County, Orange County, that sort of thing. But they've been talking about people that have been showing up with lawn or leaf blowers with gasoline in gasoline canisters, and they light it and they use the leaf blower to fan it. And that's been happening in those places that I just mentioned. And certainly in Los Angeles, you're getting more and more videotape. Even though the people are denying that this is happening, you can't deny the videotapes that you're seeing out there. They're just blatantly obvious that you have people setting fires. Now, this also happened here in the Paradise Fire. It happened just recently in the Park Fire, which was adjoined the Paradise area for their burn, where you did have bad actors who were running around setting fires. That happened in Santa Rosa when that was going on. It happened up in the Carr Fire up in Mount Shasta area. And of course, this has been going on in California for years. But more intensely lately, we hear about these guys that are running around in their cars setting fires deliberately. Now, I think it's doing two things. I think it's fanning a regular fire, which disguises to them, in their minds, the electric fires that we're seeing that are burning the houses down. Two distinct types of fires, two distinct types of burns. And of course, a fire that started in brush and burns a forest, burns at a very low temperature, burns at about 1200 degrees, starts out at 300 degrees and burns at 1200 degrees. And then, but the electric ones go to 4,000 degrees, 4 to 6,000 degrees. That's one of the reasons why you see every individual home burned from the inside out, and all the metal and everything. Even the metal is mangled, metal girders like you're seeing in Los Angeles. The Coastal Commission down there really has a big thing about metal girders and supports in those homes, so they're pretty obviously seen now.
I've seen the court cases on that, in the case law that really gets into property rights. The thing I wanted to note here, though, was this. I'm looking at motive and method. And first of all, to me, let me give you my motives, and then I want you to break it down from your perspective because you're closer than I am. I think there's an indirect but desired effect. Because we're seeing so many Hollywood homes, both the good guys and the bad ones, their homes are being destroyed. Well, this is in the aftermath of Diddy, and they're destroying evidence. I think that's almost a byproduct, but I think it is somewhat intended. The other thing that we're seeing is what you and I have talked about several years ago and continued that discussion: disaster capitalism. Newsom's broke; he needs federal money, so burn it down so we get the federal money, but we put no money towards the mitigation of the problem just to satisfy minimal budget requirements. And then the other thing that I've seen is it's Lahaina all over again: smart city. The wealthy want the rich in playground there; they want the commoners out. burn it down, start it over. They already have plans for the smart city that's in writing, so this is not speculation. And I think this is a smart city endeavor with a goal using directed energy weapons that I have seen on X from multiple sources, and the same as Lahaina. Paul, go ahead and take it what I said and take it apart. And I'm not sensitive, by the way.
I would agree with all that and more. And again, I know a little bit more because we're being out here and doing the new California things. We have a lot of the inside information that's really going on. First of all, let's talk about disaster capitalism. This is very much a real thing in terms of money that's supposed to come now to Los Angeles. The first thing that he did when he got on, when he got down there, is he called Joe Biden and requested federal help. Joe Biden flew in. And gave him federal help, though, to pay the cost on all the burn, everything, that he'll get 100% reimbursement. Well, that's enough to give him probably about $50 billion in federal reimbursements, and even after he pays for everything. And sometimes he probably won't pay, but he'll get that. That's still not enough to solve his financial problems. And that's the sad thing. If you just look at it as a disaster capitalism move and you get $50 billion of payments, repayments, or money that would be coming to the state. See, he can borrow on that money in advance to keep himself afloat. The problem is he just got a qualified budget rating. The whole state's qualified now from a financial standpoint. And you know what a qualified financial statement is? It means you're broke. You're broker than a joke, and you can't get out of it. And actually, California for the last 6 years has failed to file its federal financial reports at all. They just don't do it. It's the only state in the union doing that, and obviously for nefarious reasons. In the last 5 years,
Isn't that illegal?
it's absolutely illegal.
Yeah.
But you know, who have you had as president? You know, so nothing, none of this was being picked up. He didn't file in the last year of Trump. Well, Trump was gone by the time that could be mitigated. In the last 4.5 years or 5 years, he hasn't filed at all. And so that means that they don't have any credit rating. And the first time they go out and try and borrow money, they're going to get, and again, states need to borrow money because of the shortfalls in taxes and things like that. Those are just, it's just a proper course of what happens. And it usually doesn't have to be a lot of money, but they will have downturns in cash flow and they want to bridge that gap. They can go out and get tax revenue anticipation notes or something like that to bridge the gap. He doesn't have any money at all, and he has very little access. He's had some access to TRANS, tax revenue anticipation notes, because those are black box. You know, as soon as the money comes in, it gets paid to the lender. So he never even has his hands on the money that comes in. But this is now diminishing in terms of size and scope of what he can borrow. So he's in really a critical position right now as a state. But this is telling you guys that here he knows he's broke. They've hit, this is sort of breaking news on this story because this report came out on December 4th. And it took Chris Street and others to suss the information out from the state. And we found out about it 2 weeks ago. And we're the only one talking about it. Nobody in the mainstream media is, it's just evidence that they're broke. They don't have any money. They can't do anything. And that explains why the National Guard, so-called California National Guard, showed up. It looks like a ragtag group of about 50 guys. That's about all they can muster. They don't pay the National Guard. And the National Guard doesn't, they don't get deployed. Actually, the National Guard that are on duty, active duty, they are deployed to different states, Dave. And those states and the federal government are paying them, not California, because they don't have the money to do it. But
I think
this whole thing about disaster capitalism is just part of the whole nefarious activities that are going on with Gavin Newsom and the games that he's playing right now. Go ahead.
Paul, what I'm seeing is also an extension of the disaster capitalism in the mainstream media. I kind of tuned in and out of the NFL playoffs today just to get a feel on the flair. And I like to look at advertising and all the exemplary stuff. Here's what I saw. Repetitive ads for aid for LA. No
Right.
accountability for corrupt and inept and negligent officials. Just aid, aid, aid. Send your money, send your money, send your money. And are they partnered? Do you think the mainstream media has partnered with Gavin Newsom in the deep state
100%,
to raise money?
100%,
That was my feeling when I
100%,
watched this, yeah.
100%, they're implicated. That would include the NFL. That would include anybody that's participating in the advertising campaign. There's a lot of need for aid down there, but we don't know how many people have died. We don't have any statistical information on that other than what they're telling us. Now, keep in mind, ladies and gentlemen, that when they find a whole body, that becomes part of the body count. But if they can't find the whole body, then that's never reported as a dead person. That's what happened up in Paradise. They found 87 people or parts of people, and that's what they ended up with the death rate. But everybody who's been up there, and of course, what we found out was is that the death rate in Paradise was more like over 3,000. And the reason we found that out is because the mortuary guys that were running around looking for bodies. And again, we spent 28 days studying this whole thing, so we got to know these guys. These guys were absolutely over the top, in the sense that they were saying that, we're looking for all these people in the houses, but the houses are all burned, and we know the bodies are dust. We're looking for something, chips of teeth, and maybe something like that that could withstand the high temperatures. And so finally, after about a week or so, we got to talking to these guys. They were all dressed up in their moon suits, driving around in big vans. And I said to them, I said, "How many people are on your list that you're looking for?" And he shook his head and he said, "Paul," he says, "we got over 3,000 people we're looking for. 3,000 people." And I suspect this is the same thing here. Same thing happened in Lahaina. It's the same old routine that happened here that happened in Lahaina, that happened in Paradise. That happens all over around the world, wherever you're talking about in Chile and you're talking about in Turkey or Greece, any of these places that have been burned out with these laser weapons, it's all the same story. It's all the same plan. The situation in Paradise, as an example, that was executed probably a year and a half to 2 years in advance. And a kind of interesting thing that about 6 to 7 months before the fire, they built a massive, massive base camp. At the Tuscan golf course, which is on the way to the Paradise on the Skyway. And this thing was massive. And what it was a survival camp. It was a camp designed to see if there is an emergency, how are the emergency responders going to respond. They had housing, they had everything. And the reason why I found out about it was the first day of the fire, I drove up there with the fire department, and I was stopped. I was stopped at the intersection of the Skyway and Tuscan Ranch, and I said, "What is this?" They said, "Well, this is the checkpoint for the base camp for PG&E." And I said, "The checkpoint?"
What?
And I looked, and I
Can you
could
explain
see
that?
it was the checkpoint. You had to stop the vehicles because they had what was happening was coming through the intersection, coming off of the Tuscan Ranch there, the golf course, were trucks, 18-wheelers, and the trucks had spools of wire on them for electrical wires, and they also had telephone poles. And I'm sitting here going, "What the hell is this?" And I said to the fireman, he says, "Paul," I says, "we're going to go up in a minute." And I said, "Wait a minute, stop, stop. The story is right here." I got out. I said, "I'll pick up another, when you guys come up in the next 10 to 15 minutes, I'll pick something up. I'm going to go across the street and start asking some questions." And so I went across the street and I asked the guard that was there, I said, "What is this?" "Well, this is a PG&E base camp." I said, "A base camp?" I said, What are they rolling out for?" He says, "Well, they're rolling out to fix the burned wires." I said, "This is a fire that's still going on. It's still going on." I could look up there, you could see, and I got the next fire engine. I went up there, and sure enough, it's right in the middle of the fire. These guys are starting to lay things out. I mean, I'm sitting there going, what is that all about?" And then we found out that it was a big center, an intelligence gathering center in part, because several of our people in New California work there in the months ahead. And their goal was to find out what was going to be the escape route in case there was a fire by the citizens. So they walked from house to house to house, verifying whether or not there was a person in the house or no people in the house. And then they had the fire. Can't make this. We have pictures. We have videos of this
Oh.
whole. We have this whole place. We're going to show them this next week, so that people understand that this little thing is not a little detail that's being laid out here. This is a government operation, a huge, massive destruction of Los Angeles, and I think it's like you said, Dave. I really believe that in part this is a way to cover up what's been going on there with the child sex trafficking, all
And
that
the
stuff,
bitty
all the
thing,
horrors that have
yeah.
been there. I believe that that's what they're trying to destroy some of that stuff, especially the stars who have been so wildly implicated in this stuff, P. Diddy and all that stuff.
Yeah, I have a reaction to that too because I've got some good information. In fact, my private intelligence source that I told you about today with this other story is part of this. He's one of three revealers. Here's what I found out. BlackRock discovered, well, let's put it this way. In September, BlackRock determined that Kamala Harris could not win. So they began an alternative practice, and they were pissed off at Diddy because Diddy had sued them, and I forget the name of the company, but Diddy had sued a company for racism, and I think he won somewhere around a $20 million lawsuit. And BlackRock was pissed off, and they said, "We no longer need Hollywood. We don't need Diddy. The election is gone. We're going to need to reorganize." And that's why they got the Justice Department on Diddy. I always wondered how Merrick Garland would go after Diddy, since Diddy was obviously helping keep Hollywood in line. Well, it was BlackRock. And they were the behind the Diddy situation. But I also think that they don't want to get connected in a primary or secondary way. So we saw BlackRock involved in Lahaina. We know they're major asset managers for directed energy weapon company manufacturers and the drones that distribute. And I suspect, Paul, as we go further, we're going to find the same relationship with BlackRock and the perpetrators on the ground in Los Angeles.
It'll all connect. It will all connect, and I think that you're right in the sense that this is payback, and they're wiping Los Angeles, Hollywood out is what they're doing in a sense. And again, I was trained down there as a school administrator by the Los Angeles Crimes Against Children's Task Force in 1986, which that was the first time they really highlighted child sex trafficking in Hollywood. And I mean, some of the stuff I learned within one day, I'm going, God, is this the world I live in? It's like amazing. But that has manifested itself in such a way that this is so, this, out here in California, child sex trafficking and slavery are the two biggest industries now in California. Billions of dollars are being garnered from the buying and selling of children and humans for slavery in California. This is one big slave market, and that Gavin Newsom is the leader, and he knows all about this. Nobody in the California state legislature, except two people, are trying to attempt to pass any kind of legislation to put a stop to it. So what does that tell you? It tells you one thing. They're all kind of related because of the elections. Almost everybody who got involved in the elections is there because they were selected to be there, and now they're pawns of the cartels who run the elections out here. And so these people are going to do anything they want that the cartels ask them to do. And if it means that they're going to not pass bills to stop child sex trafficking or bring it to light, they'll do that. And that's exactly what we've been going down there and calling them out on the steps of the Capitol. And nothing seems to shake that. Well, the only thing that keeps it solid is the corrupt election system, of which Newsom has never won any election. The only thing he won was the recall election. Well, actually lost it. He was recalled twice. I mean, twice he went through all that stuff. First of all, it is re-election, and then through the recall. But he never won any election. He didn't win the first election.
Well, he's selected, he's not elected, but
Exactly.
it is amazing what we're seeing with BlackRock too, because what I discovered in my Lahaina research, and this is backed up by a reporter named Melendez, who's really good. We both concluded directed energy weapons, but we found that BlackRock was a player in every single aspect of what happened to Lahaina, even on the bad side. You know how they blamed Hawaii Electric for starting the fire? It wasn't fire, it was directed energy weapons, but they blamed the power company for the fire and the mismanagement of it. Well, the major asset manager was BlackRock. So they could complete their guilt admission, get a fine for the company that took a little away from them. But on the developmental side, they had the banks, the real estate companies, and all the developers wanting to swoop into Lahaina. And it was really interesting, Paul, because the governor of Hawaii, Josh Green, said that Lahaina is a protected site, and he declared that 2 weeks before the fire. And he said the only thing that can interrupt that is a natural disaster. And we're seeing the same mentality again. And I promise you, when we unfold this in LA, it's going to be BlackRock. What do you make of BlackRock getting out of ESG as well?
Well, I think BlackRock is doing everything it can to protect itself because it's got a lot of exposure now. And I think that whatever it needs to do, it's going to do because it's got the money to do it. I think they're definitely behind this whole financing, if you will, of this military-grade operation that we're seeing with the fires. I think they were behind it before and all the other ones.
CIA, DARPA, BlackRock. That's what I heard.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. And their hands are all over this one right now. And again, it's kind of interesting from what I understand. I was kind of poking around. You've got several aerospace industries down there, Northrop and Grumman and all that stuff. Raytheon is down there. Well, Raytheon's a big player in this type of weaponry.
Yeah,
They're the
that's
ones who
perfect.
invented it. And oddly enough, my understanding is that they're not anything, they have nothing to do with this, that it's an offshore corporation that's helping them pull this off. And so I'm sitting here thinking, great, you know. But it's got to involve a BlackRock because they got to be funding all this. They have to be funding all the entire thing going on behind the scenes. And so I haven't gotten to that connected dot yet, but I'm getting there. I'm getting there. We know what the technology, what they're doing. We know exactly what they're doing. They did the same thing in Lahaina. They same thing in Paradise. The evidence is clear as a bell. You know, these are microwaves. These are, you know, they've been microwaving the homes. I have stood literally in hundreds of homes that were burned down in Paradise, on the same technique. And those homes there look exactly the same. They look the same in Lahaina. And of course, the cars, all that stuff being melted by lasers and microwaves. This is something that's a surety. So the question is, when are they going to stop? Is the question. That's the only question, because they've got miles and miles and miles of places down in Southern California they can just rake through it. They've upped their game in terms of their technology. They have much greater capability, as I've seen it right now, because again, I walked all those miles up there in Paradise. I was there. Huge areas, miles, square miles of wiped out homes. But this is something different in terms of the scope. You can see for the whole LA basin going. And that's no joke. I think that they really want to push that. I've told my friends in Orange County and other places, put something blue on your roof to, you know, block the lasers and that sort of
Boy,
thing.
I
That
got to
really.
interrupt you here, Paul, because if I don't say this, we may lose it. What saved a lot of Lahaina structures was blue
Right.
roofs, and we're now finding the exact same thing in California. Chris Kitsey brought that to me, and he lives out. He doesn't live too far from you, but he has said, Dave, the blue roofs are coming into play.
Well, yeah, blue. You know, when the lasers set off the microwaves, what happens is that the blue does not resonate as it will not ignite, and that's why you see a lot of these. And plastic doesn't really ignite either. If you take a look at some of those dumpsters, trash cans, the recyclable ones are blue, and the green ones are for, of course, plant waste. But they don't seem to want to burn as much as the others. That the blue doesn't burn at all. I went by countless blue things, objects, pieces of paper that were blue, in the midst of, you know, ash that burned at 4,000 degrees. I mean, that just doesn't make sense. And the trees, you know, in the forest as an example, the trees were not burned down. Well, if you have a forest fire, it burns the trees, right? And these trees were all standing around in Paradise, right? And of course, you see these pictures of this happening. But the size and scope of this is going to increase. They don't seem to be letting up in Southern California, and they'll probably wait until the evening hours. Here's another thing, too. Ladies and gentlemen, I grew up in Southern California. I was in a huge fire in 1969, in which we went up on the roof and we battled the fire for 6 strong hours. The wood roof our house from burning down. That was in September. High 40, 50, 60 mile an hour winds, Santa Ana winds. Look at Earth to everybody else. The Santa Ana winds do not blow in January, and they certainly do not blow in that LA basin area like they were blowing at 100 miles an hour. That was generated. Now there's a reason why they do that. They have to clear the air. The optimal situation is created for the optics in the satellites, so that they can send their signals down and burn anything they want. That's the reason for that. The other reason why the reservoirs were empty is if you cannot put water on an electric fire.
Yeah, that's right.
And so if you take, and there's videotapes of this. There's lots of videotapes of this. We're going to do a story on this for Agenda 21 Radio. But firemen battling electrical fires, they find out the quick way that if you spray with their fire hose, that electricity goes backwards on the water and shocks the hell out of them and couldn't even kill them. So that's why they're not doing this. The reason, and this went down in Paradise. All the caps to the fire hydrants in Paradise, wherever we went, were open and dry. The reservoir was not even utilized. They have a reservoir up there by Magalia. It wasn't even utilized. The water level stayed the same. They never used that. And of course, that's the reason why they can't be killing off the first responders. And that's the first clue that can give it away that it's an electric fire. And that's why it burns so hot. Forest fires do not burn at this temperature.
Exactly.
And home fires, if you have a home fire, you know, the framing is still up. The wood, you'll find pieces of the wall framing still up. They might be charred. But in this case, everything's white ash, white dust. And that's a difference. That's a big difference.
What Eric West showed from his realty company before he was fired by BlackRock, he went out on the road bordering Lahaina, and he showed right angle burns from directed energy weapons. But the important thing was this, what you're saying, is that the temperatures that melted some of the car parts were much higher than wildfires, twice as hot.
Right.
Twice as hot. So, Paul, it's the same thing all over again. And I can't believe they think they can get away with it. There's another issue to this, too. And excuse me, it's like someone's beaming headache waves at me here. So pardon me if I grimace now and then. But the one thing that I'm seeing here is this is almost like a satanic coming out party. The upside down cross from the one official in L.A. and her minions doing it. They're all wearing blue. I mean, Paul, there's a lot of symbolism there. Are you seeing this or am I just imagining it?
No. That's all true. You know, everybody should be wearing blue. You know, take a look at what happens in the state capitol or the U.S. Capitol. All the buildings are have blue roofs.
That's true.
In the U.S. Capitol, you can just Google it and look at it. Anybody can. You can see they all have blue roofs. The Capitol has blue roofs. The Senate and the House of Representatives. The outbuildings, you know, the various buildings that service them for the Senate and for the House of Representatives, they all have blue roofs.
Does that work for cars as well?
Absolutely. Blue cars do not get affected.
Yeah, because I noticed when Eric was going around videotaping the cars that have been destroyed, none of them had blue in the car. And I thought, gee, I wonder if blue is a factor here, because I had not heard that. Another thing that you have brought up that I really find interesting is how do they move from totally burning down LA and making it inoperable as a city to moving it forward to a smart city? And it, kind of like the climate scam, people are getting their foothold in a major city.
Well,
how do they do that?
They're going to destroy everything that's burned. That's the plan, just like Lahaina. They got a couple of big problems, though, that these fires leave a residue from the thermite. There's a thermite residue that's left behind, and that's why they have to clear all the topsoil. All the topsoil has to be cleared because it's poisonous, and that's what happened in Paradise, and that's what happened in Lahaina, and they learned a lot of lessons along the road, but right now they've got a big problem, and they've got a toxic area. To walk around the area is just hugely toxic. I had to wear a respirator in some places when I was down there, in Paradise anyway, but it's a toxic stew of air. And they're going to have to, if they want to rebuild to the houses that were there, they're not going to do that. The city of Los Angeles is already going to pass, I'm sure it's in the works, an ordinance that just does away with all the individual homes because they want stack and pack housing. That's their big dream.
That's the big thing.
Stack and pack housing.
Sure.
Right. And so, but just the sheer numbers, the square miles that are being affected right now in that whole basin. Is going to be it's not going to be a 2 or 3 year project. You know, you're talking 20, 30 years to rebuild everything properly.
My mom used to accuse me as a kid of stirring up the muck. So here comes the truth to my reputation and my background. We're looking at the conversion to a smart city using violent means, and I think establishing a climate scam foothold for the deep state against the Trump administration, and LA's economy is going to be severely affected. That's going to affect the rest of the country with exports crossing I-15. But Paul, there's a bigger picture. This is LA Basin. Something that's going to affect the entire state, the country, and the world is the Oroville Dam. If
that's
the Oroville Dam goes, trade is totally disrupted in this country. Starvation will set in several different areas, including internationally. Do you agree that Oroville is next, is an expansion of this plan?
I think we have to be very, very concerned that Oroville is part of the plan because, number one, the spillway was never fixed properly. It does not work. They won't even run 500 cubic feet per second over the remaining spillway for fear of it shaking. Now, 500, it's built for 179,000.
Wow.
So there is a major problem going on there. Okay, so they have their problem with that. Now they also have their problem with the leakage behind the spillway, which is out porting out already. So now what they've done though is they brought the dam up to about 800 plus, I think it's about 830 feet now at this point in time. So it's well above the gates themselves. So you got the leakage going on there, but you got the
What's
leak.
the height? You said 830, but what's the height?
The ultimate height is 900 feet.
Okay.
And if it goes over 900 feet, then it's going to top over on that spillway, the so-called emergency spillway that has been rebuilt. Now, I have a lot of confidence in that spillway. I've been there up there many times. And it hasn't been tested, but the problem is the underneath behind where the soil that the spillway sits on, both the emergency and the regular spillway, it's not real competent rock. And that's totally saturated with water. It's called phreatic mo water movement in that area, and that's going to be putting a lot of pressure on the spillway. If they are forced to use the main spillway, which I think they're going to have to do at some point, if we have several big storms. Now, we haven't had a storm really roll in here for the last 2 weeks, but 2 weeks ago we had some huge storms, like 10, 11 inches of snow of rain and snow in the mountains, which really brought the water level up to real dangerous levels, in my opinion, very quickly. So we still are in the balance. They could bring this dam down in a matter of a couple of days with some big, large storms through geoengineering, geo weather engineering, up to the 900-foot level. Then we'd have a real problem. And we've had a problem like this on a couple of occasions. 1997, I was around and saw that problem they had. That was massive, massive rain for like 10 days straight, and it pushed the water over the didn't it did not go over the emergency spillway, but it forced them to put about 150,000 CFS over the main spillway, which was working then. It was working properly. That's the one that ultimately broke. But then in 2017, they had not maintained the spillway. It was in need of repairs. And of course, Jerry Brown was using all the money he possibly could, not spending it on reinforcing any of the spillways or any of the conveyance system. No infrastructure at all, money being spent. He was using it on social justice programs and his friends. Where did all the money go? You better ask Jerry Brown and his friends. But that caused a big problem, and of course, that's when we almost lost 2 million people. The dam, if it
Can you
goes.
hold it right there for a second? Because a lot of people have not heard our previous shows that go back almost 10 years on the Oroville Dam. If the dam were to break, correct me on the facts, the water would wipe out probably 200,000 to a million people. It'd reach Sacramento in just over an hour. It would join up with like the American River and other rivers and even flow to the coast. And it would destroy agriculture. It would destroy trade going across I-15, as I mentioned. Okay, so do you want to take that and run with the effects? Because
Well,
it's been a long time since I've covered this.
the freeways that would be affected would be the 5 freeway north, the 99, the 70 north. It would be the 80 east and west, and the 50 east and west. And then, of course, going down even further to the 50 to 4. So it would go down into the delta. If, in fact, the optimal situation for 2 million people in terms of their lives being risked, it would have to have a reoccurrence of the same situation on the 17th of February 2018, and that was 2017, and that was a situation in which all the water had risen to the level, the tops of the levees, all the way down into Sacramento. I was watching the videos on this very screen here. I was watching the videos of those things, and you could just see them rise every hour to the very top of those tip tops of the spillway or to
Remember
the
that.
levees, and they were almost starting to top over top. And I was calling people in Sacramento and had the inside scoop on that. It was that way all throughout the city. And had that dam gone at the time in which they were playing around with it to go, that's when we would have had the maximum kill of at least 2 million people. You had 280,000 people on the highways trying to escape it, and of course, if it had gone, it would kill another 1.5 million down in Sacramento. The other part of it is, and nobody wants to talk about this, is this is the largest rice-producing area in the world in one
Exactly.
location, and there would be massive famine because the rice fields would be completely inundated and would be out of service for at least 4 to 5 years before they can get any kind of real decent production out of them. So that's another problem. How many millions of people would die because of that? So you would have the complete capitulation and collapse of California financially. It's already doing that financially, and of course that's one of the reasons why we're being stood up as a new state, is to solve that problem.
Yeah, and Trump is aware of that too. So let me see if I have this right. We're taking down LA for smart city purposes, establish the foothold I mentioned, but we're going to expand to destroy California, probably using an Orville Dam strategy that'll greatly impact the economy and the welfare of Americans across the board.
Correct.
Okay,
And
so.
this is all kind of covered to the fact that what we've already done is blown the whistle on California's financial disaster. And it has no more money. And the bottom line to it is that's why we're rushing around here trying to become a new state, is because we want to make sure that we can stand up as a new state. Congress approves us as a new state, and we can get all the financial, because we will have clean credit. We will have every financial aspect of or company or corporation available to us to help rebuild infrastructure and the things that we need. And we'll even focus on cleaning up California's debt, because California itself can't pay off anything. It's going to have to, this fit in cycle business of always having disaster capitalism as a source of state revenue to operate your government. There's something wrong with that picture.
It's terrible.
Yeah. And again, we know what they're doing with the money. They're using it for their friends, their NGOs. That they're the ones that are getting all the money.
Is the money being diverted to NGOs for child trafficking, like with Catholic Services? Do you have any
Oh
evidence?
yeah, absolutely. Catholic services and the Hebrew services, Methodist, all these so-called church organizations, they're slave traders, and they're dealing in death and destruction for children. Child sex trafficking is the big booming business in California right now. And you've seen all the testimony. Listened to Michael Young. You listened to Ben Berquam. Ben Berquam's from Fresno. He was formerly with the New California State, by the way. We're really proud of Ben, and he tells it like it is. And this is a growth industry. I was told about 3 months, 4 months ago that there's a glut of children on the market, and they're desperately looking for foster families, or they're selling them overseas for body parts.
I've heard that too. With regard to the nature of the children, the background, are these almost expressively, are they immigrant children, or are we seeing American kids kidnapped off the street in good
You're
numbers?
seeing American, yes, they're almost exclusively, the high propensity is about 90% being imported, bought and sold overseas. Some of them will come as family units, and what happens at the border is that the family units are broken up, and the parents go one way and the kids go another. The kid never see the kids again. But this is, yeah, and what the big thing is now, especially with these illegal foreign nationals that have come across the border, is the stealing of kids right off the streets, American kids. Never to be seen again.
And you
That's
think
going on. Nobody's reporting it, but
it's
that's
about
going on.
10% of the kids, right?
Right.
Okay, here's what we found in Lahaina. Michelle Melendez and I have covered this extensively, independently and cooperatively. We know there's about 2,600 missing kids out of Lahaina. And I don't
Right.
care how they fudge the numbers, we have proven it frontwards and backwards. And these kids could only end up in one place if they're totally missing. The second thing, and the idea was to kill the parents when the kids were at school, and we know the kids got bussed. And that's why they trapped the people and they closed the exits and didn't sound the sirens in Lahaina. Okay, but going forward now, do you suspect that in LA, in this disaster, that we're seeing kids taken?
Oh yeah, just it hasn't surfaced yet, but I anticipate that that's happening. Absolutely,
Yeah,
absolutely,
it's the
it's
same
happening.
pattern, isn't it? Okay.
Yep, same pattern. They do the exact same things. Like in Paradise, there's no warning that there was a fire. In Lahaina, there was no warning that there was a fire. All the water was turned off in both place. In all places, the water gets turned off. No sirens, no wailers. You'd think the fire department, back in the day, everybody has a horn that goes off. Those are all taken down about 6 months before the Paradise fire. There was no emergency broadcast alert. I was in the studio at KMYC, and right next to me, right inches away, I could lean on it, was the tower for the emergency broadcast system. And not once in the time when this emergency was declared did that thing ever go off. Not once. So what the hell is going on? I mean, and then they put in some months before. The city agreed to some of the UN Agenda 21 business with traffic calming and the roundabouts and stuff like that. And so they actually took in the center of town and diminished two lanes that were on the way out of town. And so by putting in special curbing, so it cut off one complete lane. Why? So you could have bicycles. Right. So, but the night of the day of the fire, everybody got trapped. And how many people died? Thousands, at least 3,000 people, they say, died.
Yeah,
They
I
couldn't
agree.
get out, trapped in their cars.
I could not agree with you more. I've heard the same recollections in many different circles. It just all goes full circle. I guess the final question I have for you is this, and we got about 2 minutes, is that we've got the deep state deeply trying to control California by destroying it, okay? And it has national effects. How do they hope to persevere against Trump, and does Trump have a plan to fight against this?
Yeah, Trump's plan is New California. Trump's plan is to follow the Constitution, and that's where we're going to defeat him, and we can defeat them. And a lot of people think this is there's a civil war going on. You're right, there is a civil war going on, and people are dying. We're taking casualties right now. Gavin Newsom declared war on Californians back in March of 2020 when he told everybody there's a COVID thing and we're going to have a shutdown, put on your mask and all that stuff. Everybody's got to take a shot. How many? Listen, I've lost several of my friends. I'm not a happy camper. I just lost another one about 3 weeks ago. But the other part of it is how many other thousands have taken the shot and are dying off that we don't know about. There's probably at least in California a 500,000 people that have died as a result of the jabs that he was recommending. So anybody who says that this is not a civil war and war has not been declared against us, I got news for you. It has been declared against us, and there's more evidence down there in Los Angeles right now to prove my point. That's why we are standing up in opposition. We are the ones that are constitutional here. He's doing all these things unconstitutionally. So is Joe Biden. Neither one of them are following the Constitution. And so that's why we have the right and the duty to throw off the tyrant. And that's exactly what we're doing. And that's what Donald Trump believes in. So that I know this is going to happen. It's a matter of timing. And everything is working our way right now.
It is going to happen, but do you see open bloodshed between Trump forces, maybe ex-spec ops and so forth, and these deep state actors?
I think there's a high probability of that. And I really strongly suggest everybody legally, appropriately arm themselves,
Yeah, I agree with
always
you.
at all times, period. I recommend that because you never know what's going to pull up next year. You never know. We learned in the 1993 riots in Los Angeles that they like to be mobile. They like to jump in cars and bristle their guns right out the windows and shoot at you. We saw that. That was a reality check. You saw what happened in the Koreatown. The Koreans had to take back their town, literally.
Exactly. Yeah.
The police rode up and said, "We can't protect you. Take out arms against them." And they did. They shot at will. And there was open gunfire going on between both sides. And
Yeah. Bill
they actually
Curtis.
lost one of their markets. I mean, it was a real battle down there. But they prevailed because of the Second Amendment. Thank you very much.
On the A&E channel at the time when they covered that event, Bill Curtis covered and videotaped Koreans shooting at these looters, so to speak.
Right.
For lack of a better term. Well, we're kind of like we're in a wait and see mode here, folks. We brought you up to date. I think you've got really good info. Certainly not going to get in the mainstream media. Paul, tell people how they can follow your good work, both in New California and on your radio show.
In New California, you can go to the newcaliforniastate.com website, newcaliforniastate.com website. We got a lot of stuff going on in the calendar, a lot of activities you can get involved in. And please help us with the money situation because we have to go to Washington. We're still doing all that stuff back and forth. And we will be. There's going to be some pretty intense stuff going on between now and March and April. Those are the two times in which things are hovering out. Then, of course, Agenda 21 Radio, you can go to A21R.com, A21R.com, and you can pick up all the news and information we cover. We're on from 6 to 9, Red State Talk Radio, every day, 5 days a week, and then from 7 to 10 on KMYC 1410 AM, the Patriot Radio in Northern California.
And I'm also on Red State and proud to be
Yes,
there.
you are.
Yeah, it's a great organization. Great people listen to it. Hey, Paul, tremendous information. Thanks for taking time out of your very busy schedule to come on with us.
Thank you, David. You're doing a
Thank you.
great job. Keep it up.